Hi, I'm Shawnee O'Neill, inviting you to check out my new podcast with my friend Stella. It's the Mogul Moms Playbook. This is for all the superwomen out there juggling kids, career, parenting, and relationships. We know it's not easy, so we got your back. So join us and our celebrity friends for a little moral support, helpful tips, encouragement, advice, and a bunch of laughs. Download new episodes of Shawnee and Stella every Tuesday at iTunes and PodcastOne.com.
Coming to you live from the RHAP studios, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's a man who often has been called a ladyboy himself, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our Amazing Race wrap-up. Here we are, back after episode number 3 of Amazing Race 26. And here with me to break it all down is the knowingest, knowing-it-all of the Amazing Race. Here she is. It's Jessica Leitz. Jessica, how are you?
I'm good, Rob, but you shouldn't undersell yourself. I really think that you definitely qualify as a lady man.
Lady man. Yes, that's right. A lady man. That's right. All right. So we are here to talk about an episode of The Amazing Race. Non-elimination. Jess, did you see that coming?
Kind of.
Yeah, I sort of said like where it was like blatantly obvious that Team New Kid was going to be last. I said, oh, this is going to be a non-elimination leg.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not one of those tinfoil hat people that thinks that whenever the producer's favorite team is in last place, they make it a non-elimination leg. But I did think there was kind of a missing sense of urgency about John and Harley's entire leg, this leg.
Yeah, I'm not normally one of the people that gets into that. And I feel like that there was definitely points where there was a non-elimination when there shouldn't have been. And with the whole thing, like, I felt like last season with Jim and Misty, when they had the save and they were saved by a non-elimination. But this one does, it seems a week early for the non-elimination leg.
Well, you can't have it the same leg every season.
Why not?
We have the switch
at the same time every Survivor season.
Yeah, and people come to expect it, don't they?
Yes, I guess so.
So you don't want there to be a leg in the middle of everything where people are like, well, it doesn't matter what I do this leg because nobody's getting eliminated. I can just kind of, you know, walk it out. I don't care if I'm first or last. Like, that just takes all the suspense out of it. People need to be on their toes.
Okay. There was no sense of urgency. All right. So this is a night we're going to recap everything that happened in this leg of the race in Thailand, Jess.
Yep. They certainly were in Thailand.
Yes, they certainly were. And we'll talk about ladyboys and much, much more. Plus, at the end of this interview, if you're listening to the podcast version, I will bring you my interview with CJ and Libby, Jess.
Woo! It's a barn burner.
So many people this week were emailing me, where is the interview with CJ and Libby? Where are we? Want to hear from CJ and Libby. Where are they, Cesternino? Where are they, ladyboy?
You got to give the people what they want.
Give the people what they want. And so you will hear in the audio version of this podcast, my exclusive interview with CJ and Libby, and they will tell us everything they know about the Amazing Race 26.
I can't wait. I'm sure they've got some wonderful insights.
Wonderful insights. Okay. Jess, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay. I think, you know, for a non-elimination leg, I thought this was pretty fun. It was pretty solid.
Yes. Jess and I had a nice time on the Survivor podcast yesterday. We talked about all of the Survivor voicemails. That was a lot of fun. You can check that out on robhasawebsite.com. And here we are now tonight live again on robhasawebsite.com. We've got the chat room open. We've got a lot of people chatting about the episode. Plus, we are taking your tweets, hashtag RHAP, and also on our YouTube channel at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. We'll be taking a bunch of your questions later on in this hour. Jess, but tonight, it was the first night in 3 weeks where the existing couple strike back almost tonight.
Yeah, I think I spent a lot of the first two legs saying, these people are outclassed. These blind date couples are going to steamroll over the competition. And then this leg, they all proved me wrong.
Yeah.
So good for them.
How about this? Rochelle and Mike are your number one team in the clubhouse.
That I did not see coming. And I'm really excited for them because they really ran a flawless leg.
Yeah, they really did, because they had been at the back of the pack, and now here they are. They make their big move, and they are number one.
Yeah, it just goes to show you anything can happen on this race.
Anything can happen, and it usually does, especially when you're in Thailand. And so not only did we have an existing couple win this leg of the race, we also had an existing couple get engaged. So congratulations, Mazel Tov, to Matt and Ashley.
Yeah, that was really, it was a lovely moment, and he picked just the right time, I think.
Let's talk strategy on this, Jess. I want to know from you, is that the right moment? Because it seemed like a weird spot for me. I felt like, you know, maybe you want to do that if you're team number one. Maybe you want to do that if you're eliminated. But for Matt to propose at that spot in time, I believe they were, what, sixth? Sixth to finish. There was a lot of other teams there. It was a scenic vista. What do you think?
That was why he picked it. He wanted everybody else to witness it. And some people really go for that in the proposal. Like some people, we've seen proposals on the show before, and some of them just kind of happen at a quiet moment where they're by themselves. It's just them and the cameraman. And others, they want to have everybody there to share the moment. And I think that's very much the kind of people that Matt and Ashley are.
Jess, what would you want?
Well, I can tell you from my own personal experience, I was proposed to where there was absolutely nobody around in sight.
I thought you guys were at a Mets game.
We were not at a Mets game.
It was on the big screen.
I wanted an engagement at a happy occasion.
Yes. Okay, so you had a private moment.
Yeah, we were kind of... We were in this small town in Uruguay, and we're right on the river. It was very quiet, peaceful. We waited till nobody else was around. It was very lovely. And that was the kind of person I am. I don't want to do that in front of everybody.
Yeah.
But some people more extroverted than I am, they're going to want to have that fanfare, and they want people applauding, and they want everybody to give them Mazel Tov right there. So, you know, that works for them. And I thought it was, given the kind of people they seem to be, I thought that was the right call.
Yeah, I hear you. That I used to tease Nicole about that I was going to go take her to like a Dodger game or something like that. She would say, I will say no to you in front of all those people if you do something like that to me.
So how did you end up doing it?
Private moment. It was a private moment that I took her out to a dinner. And then I believe I told her that I needed to go back. We stayed. We were in Los Angeles, but I got a classy hotel room. So that she should have known something was up, because I'm never doing that again. And so I ended up taking her out to dinner. And then I actually told her I needed to get back to the room. I needed to use the bathroom in the room. That's very romantic.
That's romantic.
And then I had champagne delivered while we were out. And then I proposed there. Try to, the last romantic thing I did.
The very last, huh?
Yes. Yes.
And
that was
yeah,
it.
Here you are.
All right. So congratulations to, Matt and Ashley. And how about this? They even score the date night. How about that, Jess?
Yeah, they didn't really score it. It got handed to them.
Yes,
by a pair of people that weren't going to use it for romantic things anyway.
Yes. Well, officially, Kurgan is over as a relationship. And it's fun because, you know, we have a season of all these people on dates. And while some of the blind dates have sort of fizzled into frenemies at best, Kurgan, at least we have like one team that's like the best friend team on this season.
Yeah, and I miss the best friend team, so I'm happy that they're going to embrace that role.
Yes, okay, so we have one best friend team amongst eight other dating teams, or at least at best frenemy teams. Now, Jess, here's what I want to know. Let's go back to our newly engaged Matt and Ashley. First off, violating the premise of all dating couples. They should have been eliminated on the spot. Phil should have said, Matt and Ashley, I'm sorry. But by the rules of this season, you're no longer a dating couple and you are now eliminated.
Yeah, like that seems fair to me. But on the other hand, you know, we had Kurt and Bergen decide they're no longer dating either.
Yeah, that's fair.
And what if one of these couples breaks up?
Blaley, you know? Yeah. Now, Jess, here's a question Keith Dixon raises in the chat room. Was the ring in the fanny pack? Actually, I believe Nowhere Man raises that question in the chat room.
You know, that might explain why he freaked out so hard about the fanny pack. I thought that was just maybe because he's seen the show and he knows how important the fanny pack is. But now I think it's because the ring was in there and he was worried that, you know, not only would they get eliminated that leg for not having their fanny pack, but he would be out like however many thousands of dollars he spent on this ring.
Yeah. Did you get a chance to see the ring? I never pay attention to that stuff.
They showed a close up of it in the preview.
Yeah. What'd you think?
It's flashy.
Do you want like a big engagement ring while you're running around on the Amazing Race?
I tend toward not wanting to have like obvious blingy jewelry while I'm traveling in general.
Is that the move though on the Amazing Race where you sort of like could bring it? Like I just was listening to the Michael Ian Black audiobook and he talks about when him and his wife went on his honeymoon, yeah, they sort of flashed the engagement ring and they say, oh, well, let's bump you up to first class. Is that the move where it's like, we need a ticket. We're on our honeymoon.
You know, that could be the move. And here's something I think I would do in this position. I would go ahead and get a decoy ring to propose. And I would have that decoy ring be the most ridiculously flashy piece of
jewelry. Yeah.
And then you've got something to brag about, but you're not worried about losing it. And everybody's going to see it.
Yeah, and then you get date night for free.
And then you get date night.
Yes. So, Jess, is your partner in on it also? Is it like, you know...
You explain it to your partner like, this is just a placeholder ring, and we will pick one out together because I know you are a particular person with unique tastes.
Mm-hmm. And your partner's got to be a good actor to be able to fake it then of the fake engagement.
Well, it's not a fake engagement. It's a real engagement. It's a fake ring.
I guess so. But they know it's coming.
No, you explain it when you give them the ring.
Okay.
And now it's like, hey, everybody, look at me. I'm engaged. And then they don't have to worry about the actual ring that they're going to have forever being stolen or lost.
Okay. All right. Well, I think we've done enough ring talk. This could be the
not a De Beers commercial.
Yeah, he went to Jared Cast. So Jess, this was an odd leg of the Amazing Race to me because there was so much talk about, you know, who slept in what room. I mean, we've never before had like the show open up and this person stayed in this room, this person stayed in this room. Then there was a whole piece in the episode where it was like all the teams have to share these other rooms and have sleepovers. Like, Jess, did that seem odd to you? So much talk about who's sleeping in what room on the Amazing Race?
Yeah, previously we have not seen a whole lot of this. And whenever you see what people are doing between legs, for a very long time, we have not seen any of this unless it's germane to the plot. Like if somebody oversleeps, then we go to their hotel. Or if somebody has something terrible happen to them between legs, we might go to wherever they are so that we can witness this. But we saw it a little bit in the previous season. There was the one time they were in Scotland sleeping in tents on the beach, and you show them coming out of the tents and you can see where they're staying. And I think they might be bringing back what the old school fans would affectionately call the eat, sleep, and mingle.
Whoa.
And they used to be they'd all have to stay in the same area and they'd get to talk to each other and they'd get to know each other and they'd have food. And then season 15, they started sequestering the teams between legs because they figured if somebody's going to have conflict, they want to catch it on camera. And now I think they're kind of bringing back that sense of camaraderie, like everybody's in it together. We're all staying in the same hotel. And people do ask, what do people do between legs? And I think there's a little bit of interest. I don't think there's a ton of interest, but I think there's enough to merit showing it every now and then.
Now, Jess, I also thought it was odd that there was a point in the race where the teams like basically were told that they get to go and party in Thailand for a night. Did that seem odd to you?
It's happened before. It hasn't happened in a long time. This is another kind of shout out to a classic Amazing Race season, where they would have to wait around all night and they'd be kind of left to their own devices.
Yeah. So when you see like Amazing Race people doing shots and stuff like that, that doesn't make you feel like it's any less competitive than a regular season of the Amazing Race, right?
I don't think so. As much as I would love for people to kind of over imbibe and wind up hungover while they're trying to run the race.
Yes. I remember, I believe it was the Twinnies original season. Like there was like just one day where they're like, okay, just go to the beach today.
Yeah. That was a little more engineered, I think.
Yes. Okay. Well, this
is kind of the same situation. We had one team so far behind, they gave everybody the chance to catch up.
Yeah, like I really feel like this leg was designed for people like, oh, people like The Hangover. Let's try to recreate the plot of Hangover 2 with the Amazing Race contestants.
Oh, well, you know, with all the same levels of cultural sensitivity they're in.
Yeah. All right.
You know, what do you think of when you think of Thailand? You think of transgendered entertainers.
Yes. Jess, were you surprised the Amazing Race went there?
I was a little surprised the Amazing Race went there.
Yeah.
It seemed really, I wouldn't say actively disrespectful, but it seemed a little bit tone deaf.
Yes. Yes. This was not exactly transgender, right?
No, it was not.
Transparent. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was very transgender, Rob. What are you talking about?
Transparent, yeah. You don't feel like this had a ton of cultural sensitivity?
I don't think so. And I mean, it is something like there are plenty of entertainers in Thailand who are male to female transgender, but I think it's a little exploitative to put them on the Amazing Race like this.
Yeah. I think that's probably a fair point. But I mean, what's the idea here? It's like this is ratings. People want to see ladyboy tasks on the Amazing Race.
I don't think anybody actively wants to see it.
I feel like,
and I especially don't think I want to see all of the racers dressed up like that.
Yeah,
it seems like a little bit like, oh, look, let's laugh at the guy in makeup.
Yeah, I feel like we're in a weird spot here, Jess. That we're on Amazing Race 26. There are teams that are on blind dates, like in Thailand, dressing in drag, talking about ladyboys. I feel like that I feel like we've lost our way.
Yeah, it was a little bit, it went a little bit off the rails.
As far as the actual task, what did you make of that as an Amazing Race task?
It was too similar to the one we saw two legs ago.
Yeah. A lot of dancing on the Amazing Race so far.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of. And I don't know what the rationale is for that. I mean, everybody's going to say they're building up to a memory task.
What will the memory task be? All the dance steps?
Yeah, all the dance steps, or they play like all the tunes and you have to like match the costume you wore or something like that. I don't think there's going to be an obvious memory task on this show ever again.
Yes. No memory task. Scott, I want you to block anybody that tweets us questions about will this be part of a memory task this season?
Yeah. You're off.
You're blocked. This is not a non-elimination
Denied.
Denied. Yeah. Which of the men did you feel like made the best ladyboy in your opinion, Jess?
I think everybody was very fond of Tyler as a ladyboy.
Tyler as a ladyboy.
I think everybody thought, you know, he's got these very pretty eyes, and I think the makeup really brought those out.
Yes.
But I quite liked Harley's alter ego, Harleisha.
Yeah, Harleisha. He said Harleisha is going to come out.
Yep, and apparently she did.
Yeah, Jonathan said that for all of the drag shows that he's been to, he has said he would never do it, and then there he is.
There's a lot of things. I feel like the theme of this season has been John saying he's never going to do something and then him doing it.
Yeah, it does seem like Jonathan, there's like a plethora of things that he either never wants to do or said he won't ever do again. Right? Like he doesn't want to dance. He doesn't want to do heights. He doesn't want to dress in drag. Like, what does Jonathan ultimately want to do?
What's his strong suit? He wants to sing and dance, but he already said he didn't want to dance.
He doesn't want to dance.
Maybe he just wants to sing.
Yes. Did he make a mistake by being in the New Kids on the Block and not being in One Direction?
I think he might be old enough to be a parent of every single member of One Direction.
All right. Fair enough. That's fair enough. Okay. Let's touch on a couple of these blind date couples, because there was some rocky times for the blind date couples this week. And let's talk about Blair and Haley this week. Of course, Blair and Haley, things really started to go sideways for them at the point where they got to the task. You had to pick either ski or tree. Tree was the easier of the two tasks for most of the teams, as long as you follow the directions, which involved taking all the stuff from the tray or from the menu up on the tray on the zip lines. And Haley said, I think you need to take all the stuff. And Blair was like, no. Like, those are the guys that they didn't take it. And then it turned out she was right. And boy, did he not hear the end of it.
Yeah, I gotta say, this is just a classic example of people's personalities just not matching.
Yeah.
Like, both people are kind of at fault here. Like, Blair can't seem to hear Haley whenever she says something. It's happened a couple of times now where she has been right about something, and he chooses not to engage that and not to follow what she's suggesting to him. She turns out to be right, and then she doesn't let him live it down.
Yeah. Yeah. Are we sure?
They're both at fault here.
Are we sure that they are not actually a blind date couple, but actually a married couple?
Yeah, they've secretly been married for decades.
Married for 30 years. Because, boy, I can relate to what this is like. Because Haley does not let it go.
No, she doesn't. But he doesn't let her be right either.
Yes. And really, like, they had no shame in, like, in front of all the other teams, just, like, really going at it.
I mean, that is a sign that, you know, the fact that they can feel free to speak their minds with one another, you know, maybe that is a good sign for them.
See, I feel like what was the good sign was when the blind date teams were afraid to speak their mind to each other. Like, I feel like too much speaking your mind is not a good thing.
Well, Tyler and Laura pointed out that because they aren't comfortable with each other, they've managed to, like, that's actually helped them.
Yeah, I think that that's a good point. Like, I think the more, like, polite you are with your partner, I think the better the things are on The Amazing Race, as opposed to, like, telling your partner off. Like, we saw last season, like, with Shelley and Niecy, but, you know, you have a mom and a daughter who are not afraid to say what they want to each other. And you have teams, like, getting into huge fights on the race.
Yeah, and I think the longer you go on the race, the worse it gets, because the more tired you are and the more stressed out you are, and you can't keep up the facade forever.
Yeah. I do feel like there's something there. I mean, and we've seen, like, great Amazing Race teams that really fight with each other a lot. Like, Dave and Rachel come to mind, where they won so many first places and they fought with each other the whole entire race. But that being said, I feel like it's almost like if you are afraid to fight with your partner, that is in some way that's good.
In some ways, it's good. I think it can go either way, though. You don't want to be constantly fighting with your partner, but you also don't want to be afraid of what they're going to say either.
Yes. Let's talk about.
You need to be able to say, you know, you're wrong, and we need to go the other way, or we need to take all the food items. You need to be able to say that, and you need to know you're going to be heard.
Yeah.
And I think every single time Haley is right about something, it makes Blair that much more reluctant to hear her.
Do you think there's some sort of a predisposition here, though, because Haley feels like, see, this is a typical doctor, that he's not listening to me and I'm a nurse? And do you feel like that she came into the race with that kind of baggage about doctors, and the fact he's not listening to her is really, like, opening up a wound that has not healed?
Well, everything I know about the interactions of doctors and nurses comes from watching Scrubs.
Yes.
And I've been told it's actually a fairly good representation of the interactions between people in a hospital. But there was a lot about the nurses were the ones that secretly had all the answers and kind of kept the doctors from really screwing up. And Haley mentions that this episode. And I think she does have this kind of, I think she's very used to being heard and having the right answer.
Yeah.
And especially when it's a doctor.
I know that this is probably a hot button issue and one that I am ill prepared to speak about. I do feel like Nicole,
you're married to a nurse.
Yes. Yes. And I feel like Nicole would say that the nurse is there, like taking care of like the nurse is often like spending more time with the patient. And then the doctor sort of comes in and gets the update and then wants to, make a decision. And maybe the nurse doesn't always agree with that decision because of, they've spent more time with the patient.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. And that's something, I think that's pretty common.
Yeah. And so, again, not my area of expertise, but
you probably know, better than I do because you spend a lot of time with a nurse and
yes. And they really don't let things go. I can tell you that also from the ones that I know. They really don't drop anything like a dog with a bone. Let's talk about Team J&J.
All right.
Is the honeymoon over, Jess?
You know, we still haven't seen them get harsh with each other.
Yeah, but I felt like at the start of this episode, I almost felt like we had some sparks. And I wonder have the sparks fizzled by the end of this. They're not fighting, but I almost feel like, has the attraction worn off?
I don't think so. I think everybody's just got to kind of slow their roll. Because it's really only been, it's been less than a week at this point. You're not, nobody is ever planning their wedding to someone a week after meeting them, you know?
Yeah.
We got to give them time. And they're also trying to win a race. And I think Jackie kind of said this very succinctly, that yeah, she's not ruling it out, but she's also got a bigger goal in sight right now, and she doesn't want to get distracted by that.
Just going back to the doctors and nurses thing for one second, how do you feel about a future season of Survivor, doctors versus nurses versus orderlies?
Doctors versus nurses versus patients.
Versus patients. Oh, my God.
Boy, I know what? Who's going to win the immunity challenges. It's not going to be the patients.
Oh boy, wow, what a fireworks show that would be. Okay. But in the beginning of the episode, did it seem like, hey, Jackie and Jeffrey were the only blind date team that shared a room?
Yes, true. They were
sleeping
in the same bed.
They picked out each other's underwear, they said, right?
Yeah, I think it bodes well. And they had that little joke when they got to the room in Thailand and they were like, yeah, we can use the room by ourselves for a while.
Yeah. How about that, Jess?
Yeah, I don't think we should rule this out yet.
Do you think, is it possible? Did we have a blind date team hookup?
I think it's possible. I don't think it's going to happen yet. I think it will happen very far into the race.
Yes.
If it happens at all.
All right.
I think it's more likely that there were drunken hookups that happened after the race, after all the tension was gone,
Okay. Then as far as the other blind date teams go, we talked about Kurgan. They're just going to be friends now. They're just friends.
Yep. And I think that's cool.
All right.
I like that they're both on the same page with that, because it would be really uncomfortable for there to be a blind date team where one of them thought it was really going well and one of them didn't.
Jelani and Jenny. This one also where they were very effective through two legs. Seems like the wheels are coming off Jelani and Jenny a bit.
A little bit. And, I love that too, because I think it's incredibly boring when one team just steamrolls all over all the other teams.
Yeah. And now it seems like, they were the team that we're just friends. We're just going to work together. But now it seems like Jelani is becoming a little bit of a target for Jenny. She's getting frustrated with him.
Yeah, I mean, he has not been as good in the tasks as she has, kind of across the board.
Yeah. So what do you think? Do you think that they can overcome this, Jess?
I think they can. I think they just need to feel out each other's strengths and weaknesses a little bit better.
Okay. And then our other blind date team is Tyler and Laura. I feel like Tyler and Laura had a quiet night.
Yeah, well, they have not been one of the powerhouse teams yet. They're up in the front, but they're not, they don't have strong enough personalities that they're the first team that leaps to mind when I want to talk about teams. They're good enough in the challenges. They're good enough with the navigation. They're solid, but they're not superstars.
Jess, talk to me about the selfie stick.
Well, apparently they should have called this season Amazing Race Selfie. Because we got a team that got eliminated because they took a selfie.
Should Harold from Harold and Kumar have been on it?
I would feel really bad for him because he'd probably get kicked out pretty early, just like he got kicked out of his show pretty early.
Yeah. So, boy, Amazing Race is really trying to make the selfie a big part of the show.
But you just know that somebody in the boardroom has a 13-year-old kid somewhere. They're like, yo, these kids, you know what they like these days? They like their selfies and their selfie sticks. We got to put this on the show so we can get that youth market.
Yeah, because kids, they are going to watch this Amazing Race if people are taking selfies. Kids want to watch a show about what they're doing. They're taking selfies. They want to see people take selfies.
Yeah. Oh, my God, Rob, there's this show on Friday nights. We got to watch it because there's going to be selfies on it.
There's going to be selfies and ladyboys. It's a family fun.
Yeah, it's in the 8 p.m. time slot.
Yeah, so you got to get the selfie stick happening. They started incorporating some of the selfies into... we had like the big group selfie, which was like sort of like Ellen at the Oscars last year, right?
Yeah, I heard... I don't know if this is true or not. I heard that the cameramen are taking a large chunk of the selfies.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And I will ask CJ and Libby about the selfies. Spoiler alert. They're not happy about talking about selfies.
That shocks me.
they were not really particularly willing to entertain my theory that the selfie really cost them in the race.
They were a little bit sore about getting out that early, aren't they?
I'm not sure. But it wasn't the selfie that cost them. They said it was the fact that the train they were on broke down. But I tried to that my theory was that, yeah, but
you should have been on the other train.
If you didn't take the selfie, then you would have been on a different train that didn't break down. And I felt like they were not conceding that point.
Yeah, well, I hope you didn't like get in a yelling argument.
No, there's no yelling. There was no yelling.
I feel like you would have hyped this a little bit more.
No, yeah, believe me, I would have posted it on Monday if that was the case.
Yeah, coming up on Rob Has a Podcast.
Rob versus,
verbally abuses
Rob
team.
Versus Team Tuskegee. Yes. Okay. Jess, let's talk about the tasks a little bit. Okay, we've touched on the a little bit of all of them, but let's take us through the first task tonight.
All right, so the first task, we've got our detour.
Yes.
And you've got your choice between your zip lining while serving food, and there's also you get to go to a wave park because going to a wave park worked out so well for teams in the last season.
Yes.
Like as soon as I saw the words wave park, I'm like, don't do that one. That's bad. That's bad idea, Jeans.
That's right. That's right. Stay away from anything with waves on the Amazing Race.
Yeah. Like that is going to, they're going to have one professional doing it and it's going to look easy and you're going to get on it and you're going to wipe out in 0.03 seconds.
That's right. Okay. So, would you have known from the clue that tree was the way to go?
I would see wave park and I would not do it.
Yeah. The wakeboarding seemed very difficult.
Yeah, it seemed a lot like the task in Malta last season where there was one task that was kind of, you know, comparatively boring, but everyone was going to be able to do it. And then there was a task that they put there for the purposes of calling it a detour, but nobody who didn't have superpowers was going to be able to actually finish it.
Yeah. It was a little bit like the greased pole from last season.
Very much like that.
And then tree. Is that a real thing, Jess, of waiter service on zip lines? Or is that something, is that an Amazing Race original?
I think it might be something that one place does. I don't think it's a trend that is sweeping Thailand.
Yes. Like, you see another one of these zip line restaurants opened up?
Oh, man, you know what happened last time we went to the zip line restaurant.
Yeah. What's the worst food to order at the zip line restaurant?
Yeah, I was going to say soup was probably the worst thing.
Soup?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably less than ideal. Probably like any sort of like martini or like champagne, anything in sort of like a tall stem glass is probably bad also.
Yeah, no, you want it. You want highball glasses for the zipline.
That's right. That's right. Or like something like in a bottle that you could just sort of open.
Yeah,
that would be good. All right.
Something that you can serve on a carabiner.
And then in the ladyboy task, do you think that Tim and TJ were home tonight watching this episode screaming?
You know, I've been talking to Tim and TJ, hopefully going to get them on the podcast so we can ask them ourselves at some point. But I'm sure that they were very upset that they did not get to do the drag task.
They did not get a five-haul task, which would be dressing in drag.
Yeah, they unfortunately, there was no such place for them in their season.
Okay. Jess, who stands out to you right now as the top of the power rankings? I feel like this is a tricky week to sort of examine this. Who would you say right now looks like to you the strongest team?
You know, I got to say, Steve and Allie are really, they moved up to the top last week and they're kind of sticking around up there this week.
Yeah.
I really like their chances.
Yeah, I think you make a good point there with them. I know they didn't finish in first. They don't have a first place finish yet on the race, but they seem steady.
Yeah, they seem like kind of Jason and Amy-esque almost.
Yeah, like they're going to be right there. It's hard to imagine a scenario where they implode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I don't see them... I see if they go out early, it's going to be because of something that they can't control.
Yeah, I don't disagree with them. I like that call. You want to just come up with our top three right now? Who would you say is two?
That's a little bit tougher because I think a lot of the teams that were in the top have kind of dropped down a little bit. Yeah. It was very topsy-turvy this week. So I think that... up until like the last 10 minutes of the episode, I would have still put Jelani and Jenny up in that top three.
I think I'm out on Jelani and Jenny.
I think Jeff and Jackie go up in the top three now.
Jeff and Jackie. I don't know. I feel like there was some cracks there. I feel like I would put Tyler and Laura ahead of them.
Oh, Tyler and Laura. I can't even name you one interesting thing that they did apart from coining the term lady man.
Jess, that... I feel like I shouldn't need to explain to you being interesting is not part and parcel of being a good Amazing Race team.
That's a fair point. It is. But I feel like I would even notice like if they were doing really well.
Okay.
I guess they've been the steadiest.
Yeah. And are we sleeping on our Truck Stop Love team that came in first place this week?
I was so thrilled to see them come in first. I really like them. Yeah. They seem like really cool people. I am a little surprised. Like they're in such a tough field of competition that I was surprised to see them not just like luck into the first place finish, but to dominate. That was really wonderful to see. They did everything perfectly.
Who did you have marked as the team that was going to get engaged tonight?
I thought it was going to be Matt and Ashley.
Okay, so you had it right.
I had it right. I thought like they seem like they've been together a little bit longer than the other teams. And I didn't see, like, I don't get that vibe from Steve and Allie yet.
Mm-hmm.
And Rochelle and Mikey, he hasn't even met her kid.
I thought it was going to be Mikey and Rochelle.
They're taking it pretty slow.
Okay.
And they wouldn't keep playing that thing about, he hasn't met my kid. When you date someone with a kid, you have to get the kid on board with the decision to marry that person.
Can't shoplift the pootie. Is that right?
What?
That's the look. That's
is
what
that a thing.
That's a thing. That's what Rod Tidwell told me. Okay.
Okay.
We haven't talked much about Harley and Jonathan, even though they came in last night or tonight on the show. What happened to them with the flight? Like, it seemed like very quickly they were just like, oh yeah, we're totally screwed beyond anything we can control.
Yeah, it seemed like there were really two flights that you wanted to get on. And one of them, some of the front runner teams just decided that was the one they needed to be on. And they didn't look to see that there was a much earlier one. And then everybody else was clamoring for that much earlier one. And a couple of teams got left out in the cold. Like, Team Kurgan got left out in the cold. And Harley and Jonathan also. And then Kurt and Bergen found another flight, and Harley and Jonathan didn't. And they got stuck on the one that was landing the next morning.
Is it possible that Harley and Jonathan were hungover from date night?
It didn't look like they were partying it up. Like, do people get hot spring hangovers?
I don't know. But maybe they were like a step slow. Everybody else managed to get on the first two flights. They were the only ones that didn't.
Maybe they were too relaxed.
They were too relaxed. It took the edge off. Is that a thing, Jess? Is that like, you know, on Survivor, you could have a thing where you go on a reward challenge and like check out of the game. Is that you go on like a date night and you're totally out of the Amazing Race sort of routine?
That could be. And I'm going to be very anxious to see what happens next week to Matt and Ashley.
Well, then if something does happen to them, we'll say very smart on Kurgan to give away that date night coupon. That's like the blind U-turn and you don't even realize it.
So my question is, if that happens, are we going to see everybody giving away their date night for the entire rest of the
yes,
season?
Yes, it will be like Survivor San Juan del Sur, and we will call it the Trojan U-turn.
Yes.
And appropriately on Blind Date Amazing Race, sponsored by Trojan.
Yeah, well, you don't want to forget your Trojans on date night.
Teams will get to go spend a night at Trojan date night. Okay, so this is sponsored by our friends at Trojan.
Once again, airing in the 8 o'clock hour.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. Whether you're a lady boy or not. All right, Jess, let's bring in the questions from tonight's show.
Oh, boy.
By the way, Jess, how have the ratings been for Amazing Race after Friday night last week?
Yeah, not good.
Not good? Like, not like, wow, you think every season we'll have a bunch of blind date teams from here on out?
I don't think so. I think it's more like we're not even sure we're going to have more Amazing Race at this point.
Interesting. Okay. Well, we will follow that story as it goes along all season. All right, Jess, let's start some questions here. And here's question number one from Nick2S. Was that the most frantic anyone has ever been after losing something?
Yeah, well, again, I think it's pretty clear that the ring must have been in that fanny pack, or he wouldn't have freaked out so hard.
Yeah. Boy, Matt is the Smeagol of Amazing Race.
Needs his precious.
Needs the precious. Okay. This is from Melissa. Mel Got Served says, has the Amazing Race officially killed the selfie?
Yeah, you know, this is a show that it's one of its biggest demographics of viewers is like retired people.
Yes.
So once the selfie reaches them, it might officially be no longer cool.
Well, I think that's definitely happened.
Yeah, I think
if, and here's the thing, it like the actual act is fine, but the word, let's take a selfie, let me take a selfie. Like, I think that's pretty much over.
Yeah. I mean,
stop it.
People have been doing this since there were cameras. You've always been able to like put the camera way back and like take a picture of yourself and someone else. I've been doing that for like a decade.
Yeah.
But now that it has a name and people are using that name all the time and it's like the most frequent photography out there.
Justin, like
you don't even get people to take pictures of you anymore.
In honor of the Amazing Race, let me take I'll take a podcast selfie. Here we go. Oh my God, we've made history. Well, now it's officially dead. Now it's officially dead. We did it on a all podcast. Right,
no, you have to post this to social media and then it will be dead.
Okay. All right. Well, I will do that after the show. I don't want to be too distracted. Samantha Mann.
Something for you to enjoy after the race.
Yeah. It says, this show has become unwatchable the last few seasons. If you talk with Phil, Please let him know they need to focus on great routes and tasks and leave the gimmicks out of this.
Well, next time we talk to Phil, the very first thing I'm going to do is berate him for the poor quality of his show. I know that's really going to make him feel good about talking to us.
Yes. They like, Phil, listen to me. This blind date is for the birds. Look, let's get back to great routes. Let's get back to tasks, Phil.
I'm going to be like, I've just got one question for you, Phil. Why does your show suck?
Yes. Yes.
Why don't you just tell me with your pecs?
Yes. All right. Melissa wants to know, are you disappointed that there aren't roadblocks this season? Just where are the roadblocks?
They're coming. We're going to get roadblocks.
Where are the roadblocks?
But I've noticed we've had fewer roadblocks in recent seasons. Last season, we didn't get one every leg either. We are going to get them.
Okay.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. Jess says it will happen. David Bloomberg says, what's the deal with another detour where one task is so much quicker, easier than the other one? Jess, is there a secret to figuring out which one is going to be the easier one?
I think at this point, they're just kind of running out of ideas, and they used to plan very carefully around, like, we want these detours to kind of take the same amount of time. Like, similar to, I'm sure you heard about in the Survivor premiere, they had the three puzzles, and they had everybody in production try out the puzzles and, like, make sure that the average time to complete each one was about the same. And I think it used to be the same with the detours. They would test out these detours meticulously, and on average, people take about the same amount of time to complete both sides. And nowadays, it's like, we need two tasks. And one of them should probably be one that people can do, but the other one, we just need to make sure there's two tasks there.
So is the second task too easy, or the second task is too hard?
I think usually the task is impossible.
So the one that they just made up, then...
But we've seen both this season so far.
Yeah.
Like in Japan, we had one that was clearly incredibly easy, and then one that was going to make better television that was much, much harder. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of running into the same thing here.
Okay. Let's take this one from South Newton 1 says, what do you think was more annoying? Haley's telling Blair that he asked a listener a million times, or Tyler saying lady man a million times? What would you rather?
I think Tyler's got hashtags running through his head. He's like, I'm going to coin a hashtag if it kills me.
Yeah, if I keep saying it, they're going to have to put it on the bottom of the screen.
Pretty much, yeah.
Lady man, lady man, lady man, lady man, lady man.
Are you trying to summon the lady man? Is it going to come out of the mirror and kill you now?
Oh, no. Please, no. I'm going to have nightmares if you keep going with that. Jess, so you think the race will continue on in Thailand for another leg?
That's what it looks like. And I wonder if this is going to be another one of those Amazing Race 24 scenarios where we're only leaving the country every other leg.
Every other leg. No, I think that's a thing now on the Amazing Race. I think that's officially a thing. So next leg, do you feel like Jonathan and Harley can bounce back from being the last team to arrive and having to do the pit stop?
Yeah, boy, I want them to.
Oh, speed bump. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I really like these guys. I really like that every episode is a new exercise in confronting one of Jonathan's fears, and he totally goes for it and he's fine. But, you know, I'm a little worried about them. They seem like they might be a little out of their element.
Yeah, I could see it not going too much further for Team New Kid.
Yeah, I mean, right now, we can say they're hanging tough, but they got to take it step by step.
That's right. All right. Adam Driscoll says, was anyone else left wishing that date night would have just gone to Haley and Blair just for the reaction?
I'm counting on that to happen at least one time this season.
Yeah, that would be good. Where they go out to dinner and basically they say, okay, what would you like to have? And Blair is like, yes, I will have the seared mahi-mahi and the lady will have the tortellini. And she's like, oh, I didn't want that. Why did you order for me? You never listened to me. I wanted the surf and turf.
Yeah, And I hope that we get like the whole 15 minutes of the show to dedicate to this.
Now, I thought it was weird how they did that. I mean, they have date night, but we got nary a second of what happened at date night.
We got a second.
It was like, oh, we had date night. Like, what's the point of it? What's the point of it if we're not even going to see it?
I think we're going to see it if it's interesting.
Okay.
Like, this was just a couple of dudes in water.
Whoa. All right. South Newton says, that's a shame. I thought last season was really good and I enjoyed tonight's episode and the premiere episode.
Yeah. I'm not hating it yet.
Yeah. Do you like all the camaraderie? That's what Sarah wants to know. I'm sorry. Lots of time for the Amazing Race teams to get to know each other. Do you like all that camaraderie from Sarah Freeman?
Well, you know, it happens every season, regardless of whether or not we see it. Like, there is not a single season, except maybe some of these all-star seasons, where you don't have people going on social media after the show and talking about their Amazing Race family and being super good friends. And this cast in particular, and I think also the season 23 cast was like this a lot. They all still hang out all the time, and they are commenting on each other's Facebooks, and they're taking selfies together, and it happens all the time, so we might as well see the origins of it.
Does the Amazing Race 26 cast talk to each other more than the Survivor 30 cast?
Well, they don't have a good moniker for themselves.
Okay. Why don't we come up with it?
26.
Yeah, 26 is Fantastics.
Fantastics
26.
I don't know, man. I think we got to keep working on that.
All right. Let us know in the chat room if you have a good hashtag for the Amazing Race 26 cast. All right. Harry Schaefer says, what's the worst job in Thailand? Club pillow washer.
Ew. Yeah. Can we talk about the fact that the there were statues out in front of the club and they were blurred?
Blurred statues? No, I did not catch that. You know, my East Coast stream is so fuzzy, I can't really tell when things are blur.
When you watch it in high def, you will see that the only thing that's actually blurry to most viewers were the genital areas of the statues in front of the Ladyboy Club.
Okay. Interesting. We'll check that out. Jeremiah Yab says, last season seemed to be the season of animals. Will this season be the season of dance? Now, is this technically, Jess, is this a memory task question?
Yeah, I think he's got to be banned now.
Sorry, Jeremiah. Yep.
Sorry.
You are officially banned. No.
No, we're putting you in timeout.
Timeout. You go to timeout. No, I don't think that he was asking about memory task.
I like Keith Dixon's hashtag here.
Yes. 26.
Selfie sticks 26.
Great. Yes. Mr. Air Sonic says, who else was blindsided by the preview for the next episode? Now, is this the episode that we saw tonight or the one coming up?
I think it's got to be the one that's coming up. I didn't think there was much in there to be noted.
Okay. Well, I know people get particular about that, so I will skip a question about the preview. Let's do one or two more questions. Shane Gallagher, the great Shane Gallagher, who writes our recaps for these Amazing Race episodes, says, will we see another proposal before the end of the season? What do you think, Jess?
I'm not sure who it would be.
Blair and Haley?
It could be anybody except Blair and Haley.
They'll have a decent proposal.
It'd probably be Bergen and Kurt before it was Blair and Haley.
Yeah. How about that? I mean, did they do any research with like Bergen and Kurt? And like, so what are you looking for in a guy?
And he's like, well, he's got to be a guy. Oh, good. We got one of those.
Yes. I mean, that they both have a similar type and both of their types is like nothing like the person that they got matched up with.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they look like they could be brothers.
Yes. Okay. This is from Anthony. Are Harley and Jonathan the best TV this season?
Nah, I don't think so.
Yeah,
I think they're all right. They're better TV than I thought they were going to be.
Yeah, they're not bad, but I mean, I'm not going to write home to them.
I like them. I think they're cute, but I don't know that
they're
in the pantheon.
Yeah,
they're right.
They're right, but they're, you know, not great. All right.
Yeah, I mean, I would give them a hug, but, you know.
That's it. That's it. Yeah. Okay. I mean, we're just going to be friends, but we're not. There's no romance happening here with us and them.
Yeah, that's, you know, if we're on a blind date,
we're not falling all over ourselves for them. Okay.
Right. We're not sleeping in the same hotel room.
Yeah, they could get their own hotel room. All right. Last question. This is from Keith Dixon. Matt was attempting to scoop the spilled drink back into the glass. Would production have allowed that? I believe that is valid at the truck stop.
Ew.
They allow that.
I just couldn't get past the idea of like drinking ramen out of a champagne glass. Maybe I'm just not classy enough.
That's very classy. That's how I make top ramen in a martini glass.
Well, aren't you fancy?
Yes. Yes. That's a way to really class it up. Yeah. All right. So, Jess, great job tonight on the recap.
Well, great job to you as well, Rob.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Okay. So, of course, for you guys listening to the audio version, I'm going to put my interview with CJ and Libby from earlier this week. I'll post that at the end of this very podcast that you're listening to. I will not have an Amazing Race exit interview because of the non-elimination leg, but that doesn't mean that Jess will not have a blog for you this week.
I'm definitely going to have a blog for you this week.
Yes. You don't skip the blogs because it's non-elimination, right?
Nope. There's no rest for the wicked.
No rest. Okay. So, and then we will have more Amazing Race next Friday night back after another episode of the Amazing Race at 9:15 p.m. Eastern.
Yes, we will.
Okay. All right. So thanks, everybody, who chatted with us tonight. Do you have a hashtag, Jess?
I'm going to go with Hot Spring Hangover.
Hot Spring Hangover. I was going to pitch you on Eat Sleep Mingle.
Eat Sleep Mingle is a pretty good one. That's a good throwback, too.
Yes. What do you want? You make the call.
I like mine better.
Okay. What is it? Hot Spring Hangover?
Hot Spring Hangover.
Well, I like that we've incorporated the Hangover 2 into our Amazing Race
test. Hot Spring Hangover 2.
Hot Spring Hangover 2. Yeah. Oh, my God. How are we going to get to the wedding? What's going to happen?
This all happened again.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Ed Helms has a face tattoo. Okay. So should a team have had to have gotten a face tattoo?
That would have been a really epic fast forward.
Yes, that would have been fantastic. In face tattoo, teams will have to get a tattoo on their face. Or in yo-yo, teams will have to yo-yo 6 times. All right. Okay, great job. Looking forward to reading the blog. And again, looking forward to seeing you at the Live Know-It-Alls this week.
Yeah, I'm super psyched. We're going to hang out. It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be great. Scott St. Pierre, great job as per usual. And we'll have much more Amazing Race coming up next week. Take care, everybody. Have a great night. Take care. Bye. CJ and Libby, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing very good. How are you doing?
Doing fine.
Good, good. All right. Well, I wanted to talk to you guys about the latest episode of the Amazing Race. First off, any update? Have you guys gotten married yet?
Oh, no, we are not married, but we are very much in love and dating.
Okay. CJ, do you get tired of people like me asking that question all the time?
Very much so.
Yes. Yes.
I'm extremely tired of it. It pisses me. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm tired of being it. Yes, I am.
No, it's okay. It's okay. He's all right.
Yeah. Thank you, Libby. Thank you. All right. Have you guys now taken to feeding each other exclusively only with chopsticks?
That part was actually, it was awesome. Like,
I developed a technique to pick up a lot of noodles.
So, see, they did fantastic. I thought he was going to be horrible with the chopsticks, but he ended up doing better than I did. So,
okay, well,
very proud of him.
That was good. Now, you guys definitely had your share of struggles in the two episodes of The Amazing Race. Was it harder than you guys thought it was going to be?
I would say harder. No, I knew it was going to be hard. I didn't think it was going to be easy, but I thought getting help from people would be much easier. We really had a hard time getting help from the residents, you know, like when we asked them a question. I mean, we were trying to get where we were going. Like once we got the direction, we did a really good job with that, but just getting people to help us was like extremely hard.
Yeah, we did great in the challenges. So we definitely didn't have any problems with that. But like you said, the directions and getting help was probably our Achilles heel.
The big moment, I thought, from the other night was when you guys posed to take a selfie and missed the train because you were busy selfieing. Is that a thing? Do you think that that cost you guys enough time that that was the difference between last place and ninth place?
No, I think the emergency stop cost us more time than the actual missing the train, because when we missed the train, the next one came in, like, I think the next, like, 10 minutes. But see, when we had the emergency stop, I think that was, like, over half an hour. So I think the emergency stop put us behind more than anything.
Yeah, and we were already starting way behind everybody anyway. So I really don't think it was any way that we would have caught up anyway if we hadn't had the emergency stop or if we hadn't have missed the train.
Yeah. But being on this, taking the selfie caused you guys to be on the train that made the emergency stop. So in a way it did. It was a costly selfie.
If you say so.
Because the other train didn't make an emergency stop, right?
I mean, I don't know. Do you know?
I don't know. You guys would know better than me. Tell me about the box puzzle that you had to do. Was it hard? Because it looked like you guys got through that very fast.
It wasn't as fast as it looked on TV, but we definitely didn't have any problem. Once I got the feel of the box, it was kind of easy to get it open. But it was probably more of the saying the saying that I probably had trouble with because it was Japanese. But it was definitely fun, definitely an experience. It was nerve wracking because they were playing the drums in the background, so you couldn't really think, but it was definitely interesting.
Now, did you guys feel like it was going to be an advantage when you saw that there was going to be a bunch of teams that were on blind dates? Because I thought that the blind date teams would really struggle, but it seems like they've done well so far.
I think they did well because with me knowing Libby so long, like, I know what, like, pushes her blends, what makes her mad and that type of thing. So certain stuff, I would say to a complete stranger, I wouldn't say to Libby because I know, like, it'll make her mad. But if it was somebody I didn't know, I just would be way more openly, like, express exactly how I feel. You know, sometimes you try to sugarcoat things with your spouse. So I think I think coming in, we thought we had advantage, but then once you realize it, like, it's kind of a disadvantage to be in a relationship versus a blind
date.
Yeah, it definitely was. We had more to lose than any of the blind dates because we had to go home with each other. So we definitely thought about things differently than the blind daters did.
Yeah, I think so. Because I think maybe that you have, like, you know, more manners and everything when you meet somebody for the first time. Whereas if you're in, like, an established relationship, you just like automatically go into, you're not even fighting about the thing you're even really talking about sometimes.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. So, right. Yeah. I would you guys have done better on the race had you gone on when you first met?
Come on, back in high school?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I didn't like CJ when we first met.
So, nah. I don't think so.
So, definitely. No.
All right. Tell me, which of the teams that you were racing with really got under your skin in the time that you were racing with them? Was there anybody?
Nah. We went on that long enough. But honestly, no, I don't think, like, nah. Nobody got up on the musky. It wasn't a team that I just hated. Nah. Not me.
Yeah.
No, everybody was nice. Nobody just really just acted, you know, any type of way towards us. So, no, definitely not.
What about a team that you got along with really well? Did you guys make any good friends while you were out there?
Definitely, Biden, Jeff, Rochelle, Mike and Rochelle were really, really cool.
And definitely Blair and Haley, because we were on the second flight together, so we got to spend a lot of time with those two couples, so we definitely loved them.
Yeah, their first flight was like 13 hours, so we got to know them more than anybody else.
Yeah. And we sat with Blair and Haley on both flights, so we definitely got to know them a lot.
Now, did you guys think it was close in coming in to the pit stop on this last episode? Because sometimes it's hard to tell from the way that the show is put together just how close it's going to be between Blair and Haley and you guys for 10th place on this last episode. Was it close?
No, I don't think it was close. We never saw any other team that last leg, so I definitely don't think it was close at all.
No, it wasn't close at all. Not by a long shot.
On that last leg, I mean, it seemed like you guys were just, you know, having a good time. Did you guys know you were already in last place no matter what and were just trying to enjoy it? Or did you guys feel like you were starting to just get along better on the race?
A little bit of both. We knew it was no catching up, and then we definitely wanted to, you know, soak in the moment, take, you know, that we were in Japan, we were doing this amazing once-in-a-lifetime, going through this amazing once-in-a-lifetime experience, and we were gelling a lot better because the first day was pretty tense.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we hadn't slept, and we were tired and hadn't eaten, so I definitely, that second day, we're definitely more energetic. Definitely, I knew that we were eliminated since we didn't see another team. So I just wanted to soak in the moment, like, who else has a chance to go to Japan? So we just definitely want to enjoy the moment, enjoy ourselves.
What was the highlight of the trip to Japan?
The highlight was probably, for me, I would say, where the detour sign was. It was a shrine. They didn't really show many pictures of it, but it was beautiful. It was nothing that I have ever seen before in my life. It was so serene. There were so many people, but it was still just a calm, just beautiful place.
CJ, will you consider Japan for a potential honeymoon site?
Oh, we can't say cuss words, right? There'll be a four-letter cuss word and no. No. In short, no, I would never consider going to Japan for my honeymoon.
No or Nagano?
Huh?
No or
Nagano? Japan as a whole. Japan as a whole. No. No, sir. No. No.
No.
No.
Okay.
I can't say it enough. Put it in big, bold letters. Explanation point out of it.
Did you guys think that you were going to be eliminated on the first leg?
Yeah, definitely didn't. I thought we were probably going to be eliminated on the first leg because it took us so long to even find the park. But once we got to the park and I realized that Jeff and Lida had been U-turned, I said, maybe we have a chance. I got a little more hope then. So it was definitely a gamble because it took us so long to just find that part and find the U-turn board.
Yeah. How big of a amazing race fan were you guys both before the show started?
I was probably the bigger Amazing Race fan. I've been watching it for a long, very, very, very long time. And definitely always wanted to do the show, but I kind of pulled CJ into it. And I think he started enjoying the show and kind of felt a little better about applying to the show too after he had seen a lot of
it. Yeah, because initially I didn't even want to apply. She really had to like beg me, like, CJ, can we apply to this? Because to me, it's like hitting the lottery. Like, you know, you submit your stuff and then you just like, oh, yeah, but you don't really expect to get selected for the show. So I was just like, to me, it was like buying a lottery ticket. Like, it's cool to hope, but, you know, it's never going to happen, but it actually happened, and we actually did go on the Amazing Race.
Yeah, and what was that process like? Libby, you made a tape, and you just sent it in?
Yeah, it wasn't nothing fancy at all. We actually shot it on her iPad with, like, no editing whatsoever, and we were, like, sitting on the bed in my room. Like, it's super plain, so
yeah.
It had to be our personalities that jumped off the screen because it was definitely nothing else.
That's fancy, yeah. Definitely, it was a blast. It really was just amazing. Just I had to beg him to do it. Like I said, okay, let's sit down and do it. I really want to do it. I think we'll be great for it. And finally did it, and here we are.
All right. Well, you guys were very fun on the show. I hope you guys have lots of other fun adventures. Maybe not in Japan. But
no, you don't have to worry about it.
But yeah, it's really nice talking to you both, and I wish you guys the best.
Thank you so much.
All right, take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.